So the epistle for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception is taken from Proverbs chapter 8. The Lord possessed me in the beginning of his ways, before he made anything from the beginning. I was set up from eternity and of old before the earth was made. The depths were not as yet, and I was already conceived. Neither had the fountains of water as yet sprung out. The mountains with their huge bulk had not as yet been established. Before the hills I was brought forth. He had not yet made the earth, nor the rivers, nor the poles of the world. When he prepared the heavens, I was present. When with a certain law and compass he enclosed the depths, when he established the sky above and poised the fountains of water, when he compassed the sea with his bounds and set a law to the waters that they should not pass their limits, when he balanced the foundations of the earth, I was with him forming all things and was delighted every day, playing before him at all times, playing in the world, and my delights were to be with the children of men. Now therefore, ye children, hear me. Blessed are they that keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and refuse it not. Blessed is the man that heareth me and that watcheth daily at my gates and waiteth at the post of my door. He that shall find me shall find life and shall have salvation from the Lord. Please stand for the Holy Gospel. The Gospel is taken from Luke chapter 1. At that time, the angel Gabriel was sent from God into a city of Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel, being come in, said unto her, Hail, full of grace, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou amongst women. Please be seated. No surer or more direct road than by Mary for uniting all mankind in Christ. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. These words come to us from St. Pius X, in his encyclical on the Jubilee of the Immaculate Conception, the pronouncement of the Immaculate Conception. And I think that it illustrates the importance of the devotion to the Blessed Virgin Mary. It shows her role, we can say, that has been designated by divine providence in the salvation of mankind. Not only is she the Mother of God, and truly that is why we can say that she was immaculately conceived because of this, because then she was a worthy temple for our Lord Jesus Christ when he took human flesh. But then also from that, she is our mother, a spiritual mother that we all have, one that looks out for all of our souls, that wants to protect her children. And so from that, yes, because she was the Mother of God, she was freed from all sin, original sin and any sin after that. She never was stained by any sin because she was the Mother of God, this maternity. But we can also see how the popes have defined that. They defined that in 1854, Pius IX. But then after that, 4 years after that, 1858, we have Our Lady appearing to St. Bernadette in Lourdes under the title of the Immaculate Conception. And having that title that she gave to Bernadette, it was interesting because one, in some ways, it was the proof for the local priest, the pastor, of believing Bernadette, because obviously at first she was doubted whether she was receiving these visions, as, in a sense, this ignorant peasant girl. You know, why was she receiving the visions of Our Lady? And so that was a proof, because since she was, in a sense, ignorant, I believe she was 12 and a half before she was able to know enough of her catechism to be able to receive Holy Communion, that she showed by mentioning that she said, well, this lady told me that she was the Immaculate Conception. And so being not well educated, she would not have known about the pronouncement 4 years earlier by Rome. And so it was a proof to the priest that she was telling the truth. And so from then on, he was willing then to build, you know, the chapel in honor of Our Lady of Lourdes, and he believed her. But it also showed that it was, in a way, heaven's stamp of approval of this dogma that was pronounced 4 years earlier of the Immaculate Conception. It was heaven's way of showing that it was pleasing to them for what the Pope came out and said. So I think from these things we can see the importance of the role of the Blessed Virgin Mary in our lives. She receives the title of co-redemptrix, mediatrix of all graces. She is this channel. St. Bernard of Clairvaux calls her like an aqueduct, a channel of graces that flow into our soul. But we must turn to her in order to receive these graces. She is also to us an example of, obviously, holiness, sanctity. That is why we refer to Our Lady. She is, you know, the mother of all the saints. She's the queen of all saints. So she receives this title as a means to try to get us to turn to her for devotion, to ask for her help, to beseech her for the graces that we need. And so that's why she will continue to try to work for us, looking down upon us from heaven, trying to help our souls, if only we will turn to her. And so that is why St. Pius X, he says, there is no more direct or surer route in order to get to heaven than the Mother of God. I mean, Sacred Scripture illustrates that by the first miracle that our Lord performed was because Our Lady asked him, you know, they have no wine. Now, basically, do something, help them. And it was from that that Our Lady instructed the waiters to listen to whatever our Lord had to say. And our Lord went through and performed his first miracle, his first public miracle. And it shows the intercession of Our Lady. And so from that, as I say, many of the saints have talked about the devotion to Our Lady. They have talked about the different ways that we can be devoted to her, whether through her rosary, the brown scapular, something that I mentioned tonight, the total consecration to Our Lady. St. Louis de Montfort developed it as something that he calls holy slavery. Because we turn ourselves over completely to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And it's also something that the young ladies are going to do also in a sodality to Our Lady. They devote themselves to Our Lady. They turn their works over to the Blessed Virgin Mary. And by devoting themselves, anyone, when they devote themselves to Our Lady, well, then we turn over all our weaknesses, all our difficulties, the good that we can do through the grace of God. We turn that over to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and what does she do? She presents us to her Son. And we see the results of that. And she was able to encourage our Lord to work his first miracle. And so it shows the power of Our Lady. And so that is something that is necessary for all of us. It is a necessary means for us to get to heaven by turning to Our Lady. And we see in Sacred Scripture when our Lord gives over his mother to St. John. He says, "Behold your mother." And not only was he speaking to St. John, but from the cross he was speaking to every single one of us. We are all children of Mary. And we have to understand that. And he said then, you know, "Behold your son." And so again, it's not just St. John that he was referring to. It was all mankind. And so by turning over and turning us all over to Our Lady, he wants us to go to her. St. Louis de Montfort has said that if we want to go to our Lord, we must go through his mother. You know, so it shows, the saints have showed to us how we must try to live this life. And so St. Louis, as I mentioned, he brings out this idea, this idea of consecrating yourself completely to Our Lady, of giving over everything, and basically letting her give it to her son is like turning, you know, what we can give to our Lord into a golden platter that is given to him. It is much more pleasing to him when it comes from his mother. And so the encouragement is there for all of us to increase our devotion to Our Lady in whatever form, whether it's St. Louis de Montfort, St. Maximilian Kolbe, a sodality, whatever means that we can give of ourselves to Our Lady, will not go unrewarded. That is something that we have to understand. If we want to get to heaven, it is a sure means, St. Pius X tells us. There is no surer means or direct path to Our Lady or to Almighty God than through Our Lady. And so from that, St. Louis de Montfort encourages us with a true humility, one of the virtues that he instructs us in, to have this humility to turn yourself over to Our Lady, to give everything to her. And then also from that, he encourages us to have a true confidence. And again, that confidence will be rewarded. If we understand this, if we truly give of ourselves to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and we go with a great confidence, it will be rewarded for us. You know, but St. Louis, he talks about that. And he talks about how we'll draw nearer to God because of this confidence. because of turning ourselves over to our mother, we will draw nearer to him. So these two virtues, humility and then a trust and a confidence, they are important for our salvation. They will be the means that will help us then to reach our salvation. And so, as I say, many of the saints have talked about that. You know, St. Bernard of calling her this channel of grace. And so what greater means do we have? And they've also mentioned about how those, it's interesting to see how they say that if we want to guarantee our perseverance, it is through Our Lady. A soul that is completely devoted to the Blessed Virgin Mary will never be lost. One that is completely devoted to her. Devoted to through, you know, the rosary, the brown scapular, the miraculous medal. If you are truly devoted to her, she will not let you go. Before Mass, we had a baptism. And when the consecration of the child to Our Lady, you can see in the prayer that is given of how by consecrating, they say, never let this child be lost. Basically, go after them, seek after them, and bring them back if a child were to go astray. And how beautiful that is, and for parents, how beautiful that is to know that, of giving the child to Our Lady, of how then they have this trust and this confidence of knowing that Our Lady will never let them go astray. And so for us, that is something that we must devote ourselves to. You know, not only maybe if we were consecrated as a child, but then later in life, we still have to have this devotion to Our Lady. So I encourage all of you to consider that. Consider, like I say, you know, St. Louis de Montfort, St. Maximilian Kolbe, his Knights of the Immaculata. All of these different means that Holy Mother of the Church gives to us in order to have a true devotion to Our Lady. So pray for these graces. And pray for the graces that has been said of Our Lady. We can never say enough about her. You know, never can we say enough about what she can do for our souls. And so truly, I mean, that is something that we must follow in our own lives. So in this time period of Advent, when we're preparing for the coming of the Christ child, ask Our Lady to help prepare your soul. She was truly a fitting vessel for our Lord for the 9 months that she bore him, that she carried him until she bore him. She was a fitting vessel. She was a fitting temple for our Lord. And so she will help prepare us. She will help prepare us for this great feast. And so in today's Vespers, the second Vespers of this great feast, Holy Mother of the Church says that today the head of the serpent of old was crushed by her. And so it shows the importance of Our Lady. And so truly, as St. Pius X says, there is no more direct route than through Our Lady. In the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.